And you're right, a new resolution could deal with any one-offs anyhow. Okay. Okay. I'm satisfied with that, so.
So is there any record keeping kept of which council member is looking at which set of records and and which dates that they come in and
We should be maintaining records so that we know what's being looked at and who.
And the, as it says in there too, those records are good to keep. The whole idea is that we're still bound by the code of conduct, which talks about the closed sessions. Our procedural bylaw talks about closed sessions. Everything that we understand, that would be a closed information that we receive, so we can't go anywhere beyond unless we call a closed meeting of council to discuss those. That's the only time they can surface again. So there's no intent to walk away from there and say that, oh, this is what was talked about and talk to the public, because it has to be all kept closed.
And that's why, to maintain the integrity of it, council members can come in and go through the files, but they can't leave the building. We can't make copies of the closed minutes or directions, but you can come in and view them.
So we have to develop, like what Greg did there. Yeah, I guess he had some kind of a photographic memory or something. He didn't write anything down, so he remembered everything. I guess we'd have to do that. But I think the idea was that this was mentioned, I think Carly mentioned it, that if you're going to have a closed session at some point, obviously we have the exceptions to the open meetings for the Municipal Act, and you have to tell which exceptions you're going to be using. So I guess all you could probably do is work on the topic, the item that you want to bring forward again, and then it would be up to staff to prepare the documents that are necessary for that closed session meeting. Not everybody would have the same issues, perhaps, and maybe there won't be any. As I've often thought, some of those closed sessions may not have directives. They may just have been meetings to discuss and move issues forward, in which case there's no recording. Even the Ombudsman wants closed sessions recorded. I don't think many municipalities do it. And they want access to everything that went on in closed session, which they get for their investigations. So I think that's the whole idea. We'd have to decide what does suggest to us that we should be looking at moving something forward, and we'll bring that to another meeting, a closed meeting, under the Municipal Act.
I'm just wondering, with the packages you have sitting there from today's closed, do you retain all of those, or you just keep one and shred the others?
I keep the one that we keep on file. It gets broken down into the binders, separating the agenda from the minutes from the directions.
Okay.
These all go into the shredding.
Okay. I assume that. I just didn't know. So.
Which is a bit of a waste when you think about it, because then that issue comes up again, you've got to reproduce all of those documents again.
And there is occasions when I make notes on it that really just help me to grasp the issues and look at what was said and things like that. So obviously if they're gone, they're gone. But I mean, and I don't propose we quintuple the volume of paper we save, but anyhow, it's just odd, that's all.
Councilor Cagney.
So is this going to be, is this setting a precedent where this can extend to members of council who have not been on terms of council to look further back in and view the closed session minutes from those meetings?
Like, you mean a previous council member?
Or current council member viewing previous closed session minutes?
Well, you're able to. You're able to do that.
Currently? Without this resolution?
You can.
From
any term that you are on council.
But on a term that a member of council was not on?
No.
Because that's the precedent that we're setting here?
No. This is any person who was on council during that time that is currently sitting at the table can view any closed minutes directions from any point in time that you were still on council.
We should change the resolution to include that then, if that's our intention. I don't have a problem with it. I'm just, it isn't explicit here anyhow. So,
but this here is allowing any member of council, current member of council, to view the 2019 to 2022 council closed minutes, and they were not on council at that time.
Right.
Right.
So that would be for David or Debbie to be able to be.
Which is done, even though Pierre Polyev didn't want that authority, he was offered the opportunity to be given clearance to review documents, and he said no.
I think that was a little different. But have we received any legal opinion regarding a situation like this?
It's actually, well, can you explain where it came from?
The draft resolution was actually drafted by our Integrity Commissioner, Mary Ellen Bench.
Okay, so she does not have a problem with that?
No, she does not have a problem, and she wrote the resolution.
Okay. Thank you.
And hopefully, as I said, if anybody takes up this opportunity, there's nothing in there that has to be resolved, that everything has been taken care of before the council ended and a new term started. That would be the ideal, but I know that we've come in, our first closed session, for instance, was an interesting one because a lot of information that had been hanging over the previous council suddenly showed up on the table. We had no idea what it was. So really, that was happening already, even though we didn't have the... So we were privy to those things from previous councils. Mm-hmm. And without this resolution, I'm not sure, it was just there, but... So
yeah,
I think
it's a good point.
This legalizes it.
Yeah, it's almost like you should be going back and reading at least a couple of years back to bring yourself up to speed on some of the unfinished business.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, and from a common sense point of view, I mean, somebody should be able to... What if all councillors were new, right? And whatever, somebody needs to have scrutiny over those things, right? And so I assume that the new council, even if they were all new, could pass a resolution to authorize that.
Most likely would be the clerk administrator, because I know that this was brought up previously, and council members had asked, could they receive the could the clerk discuss information about something that took place in a previous term of council that was in closed session? He said no. So you know, so who you know, it's I don't know. Like you know, it doesn't.
Yeah.
If a clerk administrator who has oversees everything that's going on in council and understands, you know, what is the council member should know about and is business or continuing business or business they should know about, the clerk administrator will use that discernment.
Mm-hmm. What happens if the clerk administrator was the one about that has the concerns and or that position changed over?
Good question.
Where do you draw the line? I'm not trying to get into all kinds of hypotheticals, but, you know, you can go down the rabbit hole on this quite easily. So
and I think that's the reason why the Integrity Commissioner went straight to the Municipal Act and to the duty and the role of a councillor, which covers those things that we're attempting to do. So how can you do those things, fulfill that responsibility if you don't have access to some of these? So
yeah.
I think that makes it more objective.
Yeah.
And I think in this instance, 2019 to 2022 was a very unique situation all the way around. And I don't see a problem, you know, as long as all the council approves. There could be stuff that's missing in there. I mean, I haven't gone back to see resolutions or directions that Tammy might have done or Michelle or Lance. Like, don't know. So
yeah,
there may be public waiting to get a response. Councilor Bazula.
Like it says in here, to ensure that administrative policies and practices and procedures and controllership policies, blah, 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 represent the public and to consider the well-being and the interests of the municipality. You're running a millions of dollar corporation and you're sitting in the seats here now, so you should be privy to what has gone on in the previous council. You know, at least to see, you know, what was going on. Because how can you carry forward if you don't know what the past is, you know?
And how does freedom of information come into this? I mean, if John Q. Public wants to know some of those things, how does that work on closed session?
John Q. Public can't know anything that's in closed session.
No matter what?
No matter what. Anything given to council that is considered confidential does not leave the council table.
If they get a court order? Yeah.
If they had a court order, I think we'd have to look at that.
Anyway, I'm not trying to go there.
I'm trying to think what would be that we would require a court order, but obviously a court order would.
I came up with all kinds of things like that in my career, that's all, and then you'd go, yeah, didn't think of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we'd get legal counsel and pay them a gajillion dollars to tell us something. So.
And at the moment, I think it's, let's see, the clerk, is the deputy clerk who decides on what goes out for freedom of information? Is that the way it is right now?
No, it's me.
Just you?
Me. Okay. And
in the past, it used to be the mayor, but
yes.
It
no,
still is.
It's still,
oh, okay, that's
still
news
you
to me.
As well. And I actually will be calling you.
Okay. I knew that's the way it used to be, but
yeah.
I just wasn't still sure. And I know at times in the past, too, I'd argued that it probably should be all of council making that decision. I've been trying to stress in this term, especially, that council works as a unit, that we're all there at the ground floor because we make the decisions in the end. I haven't been successful with some of the outside organizations, but we'll keep trying. And I think we'll, we may have to visit that freedom of information as well, who has the authority to say what should be released and what shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So. But then, of course, you always run the possibility of conflict of interest, and
mm-hmm.
somebody would have to declare that without making a decision on it. But.
Mm-hmm.
Any further discussion?
Just to reiterate, I'm happy with it as is right now. So.
As long as the integrity commissioner and legal counsel has indicated that I can see this possibly, if council members start looking at older information, and it could open up cans of worms. But, you know.
Well, it can. As you say, it depends on what. This is all closed, so nothing leaves the council. And also, maybe some of those cans need to be opened. So it has to be investigated, as Councillor Zulak just said. Some things have to be followed up on, or otherwise we're not doing our job, especially if the public is waiting for something. We don't know. Well, you know yourself, our very first meeting. You know what happened. You might have been familiar with some of those things that showed up at our table for the closed session, but we weren't.
Community Hall and the Community Center, our very first meeting.
That's quite a long list of things
yeah,
to
and
deal
it,
with.
It came we had a few items on our closed session agenda, but there was all kinds of other things that Ina had brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I know, and that's what I'm saying is that the clerk administrator uses the discernment,
which she's doing,
you know, instead of council members going and rooting through, you know, the records, because maybe I want to look back a little further than that and see what took place over the years.
If council approves it, sounds like you can.
I don't see what that's a problem.
No.
You know, if you want to be open and transparent, and I don't see if that's a problem. I really don't. Like I said, you're running a multi-million dollar corporation here, and you should know what's going on, what you're making decisions on, what decisions were made in the past, and what you're up against, if you're up against anything. You know, what are the people expecting of you? Are the people expecting a response? Are you to get on to something or do something? Are they still waiting? You know, I don't think there's a problem. Like, I believe that this council is very open and very transparent and tries to get along very well. And I think that there's nothing wrong with checking out what went on in the past.
Somebody
so that
has
you
to
can
be able
go
to scrutinize
ahead
everything,
future.
Frankly. I agree.
I agree with being open and transparent, but why did a previous clerk administrator refuse council members for seeing previous information?
What is that clerk administrator here now?
They have a lot of experience. They have a lot of experience.
But is that clerk administrator here?
That person fulfilled their duties to the township for X amount of years and retired happily. So how is it that with their experience, they refuse that information to, you know, it opens up the door and are other municipalities doing this?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to know, if this is commonplace. And if so, then, like I said, there's a lot of records I like to take a look at that go a little bit further back. So,
any further discussion? Okay, we'll call, by the sounds of it, a little bit of question there, so we'll have a recorder vote.
Okay. Councillor Morley Hoskin.
Yes.
Councillor Mike Kekkonen.
Yes.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Yes.
Councillor Debbie Zulak.
Yes.
Mayor David Moore.
Yes. Okay, five ayes, no nays, carried.
And we left that finishing date on, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just in case of something that should be looked at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So
I like
get
that.
On it.
Yeah, that's right. Not let it hang on for another couple of years. And something comes up. Oh, yeah.
Resolution 23-473, moved by Councillor Haskam, seconded by Councillor Ryland, whereas 1 in 6 homes have been found to be food insecure in the North Bay Curry Sound District Health Unit report titled The 2022 Cost of Eating Well, and whereas 1 in 5 children in Ontario live in a food insecure household, and whereas the Town of Parry Sound has encouraged the West Parry Sound area municipalities to match their donation of $1,000. Now, therefore, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve a discretionary donation of blank to Parry Sound High School towards the food nutrition program. Is there a motion?
Oh, I was signed up.
I just cautioned that when you look at Parry Sound puts in a figure, relatively speaking, what figure should we be putting in? You have to be relative to Parry Sound, not necessarily exactly what they're giving.
Oh no. I was thinking, well, they have a lot more children attending the schools than McKellar does, so I was thinking maybe $250.
Do we know our enrollment versus theirs? I'm sure we don't. I sure don't, anyhow. So, but given the number of students that qualified that went on in our other donations for scholarships or bursaries, whatever we call them, I think that was either 2 or 3. Is that indicative of the number of students we have in the high school? I mean, I'm not saying that that's the number, but I mean, would it be 10 times that or something, maybe? I don't know.
We probably only have like probably a dozen, maybe, or something.
So, that's what I thought of when I was at home, is that, you know, if we scaled it that way, it wouldn't be much, and it might even be an insult to say.
Well, that's why I want to go any lower, because then you're starting to make a joke.
We'll give you $25.32, you know. No, I don't think that's a good idea. So.
But I like the program. I think it's important. I think there is some unfortunate stories out there, and that we should have food available at the schools.
Sure.
If some kids are going
sure.
to school without food in their stomach, so I don't think we should go less than 250. So I'm throwing that out there. With any other suggestions?
And we do have, I believe it was 5,000 in the budget in that category. So probably at least 3,000 left in.
We're at 4,000.
4,000.
Yeah. So, yeah, that seems reasonable to me. 250.
Do you want to go higher or 250?
Councillor Zulak.
So, I didn't know. Do they have a food nutrition program there? I don't know. Like, do they have something there that the kids go and get food for free, or do they have to pay for it?
I know elementary. They do. I'm not sure. Well, high school, I don't know.
I don't know if the high school does, but yeah, I am aware.
Like,
of
I don't know. When
schools.
I went to high school, there was the cafeteria, but you had to buy the food.
For it, yeah.
Yeah. For them to say Parry Sound High School towards the food nutrition program, you would almost
like,
think that's almost saying they do, unless
like
I know wants to check.
Right, McDougall, they would have they have a program. You know that they have a program, and they have fruit, mm-hmm. and they make the pancakes and all that stuff. But do they do stuff like that at Parry Sound High School?
They should. If they don't. And I don't know for sure.
I don't know.
I have another question, actually. I mean, who are we paying the money to Parry Sound High School? Does that exist as a financial entity?
Good question. They have a ways and means account, but I'm not sure really what happens there.
It's very nonspecific from an audit trail. It's not very clear.
No,
that's
it
for sure.
You're right.
We're paying this, and who says somebody doesn't just cash the check and take the money? Right, and I'm not accusing them of that. I'm just saying that's pretty loosey-goosey in terms of how it's stated. I look back at the Parry Sound resolution too, and it's likewise. Surely, God, we need to care about, you know, is there not a trail on this?
Well, it can be investigated before we
agree. Yeah, the school's out for a couple of months,
sure.
So maybe we
yeah, there's nobody imminently waiting for food there today. So.
Unless you know the answer already.
I know I don't
attached.
Know the answer. So.
There's a letter attached to the Parry Sound resolution.
Is there?
And it's stated what the food and nutrition program was. So
right.
It's saying provide nutritious prepackaged breakfast and snacks in accordance to the North Bay Parry Sound Health Unit protocols. It's accessed in the cafeteria, I believe, free of charge. And they embark on other ambitious projects, which include food baskets, a breakfast program, and a food bank supporting all our at-risk students. And the check would be payable to the high school.
Yeah.
Does that sound good to me? Have a bank account? I know you probably, I'm sure you don't know the answer. I certainly don't, but anyhow.
I think we should deal with it. I think it's a legit program.
Yeah, oh, I think the program is great. I think it's critical for lots of lower income people, for sure, and students maybe more than most. So
not necessarily low income.
Yeah. Well, true.
Okay. So we have $250 in the resolution. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-474, moved by Councillor Pecknan, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the noise exemption for Root Fest 2023 to be held on Sunday, July the 9th, 2023, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., as applied for by Axie Lale and as recommended by Bylaw Enforcement Officer Chris Everett. And further, that neighboring properties within 150 meters of 701 Highway 124 are to be notified by written notice as they may be impacted by the noise. Discussion? Councilor Zula.
So this is on Sunday. So will these people be notified if this is passed tomorrow? Like tomorrow's Wednesday. So they don't have much notice.
No.
I'll provide, if passed, I'll provide Axie with the civic addresses for the radius of 150 meters and then he'd be responsible for notifying the people. I believe through the impact search there was 18 full-time residences encompassed in this radius with some seasonal and some vacant land. And it's spanning approximately from over to the fire hall to the general store.
Now, how does the notice sent out, how does it actually work? Does he get the names and mail out, or does he go knock on doors? Or?
We wouldn't provide the names just because that's a privacy issue. I'm assuming because the event is this weekend, we need to notify people as fast as we can, so he would most likely just pass out generic notices door to door and check off the municipal addresses provided to him.
Okay. Fair enough. Further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-475, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the draft letter of consent dated July 4th, 2023. Addressed to Bill Church, Bar Steward for the Royal Canadian Legion Branch 394, to consent to the consumption of alcohol outdoors at the Ribfest event to be held on Sunday, July 9th, 2023, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. under liquor license number 44565, issued to the RCL Branch 394 at 701 Highway 124, McKellar, Ontario. Further, the council authorizes staff to sign the letter and send to Mr. Church so he may provide it to the Legion's Insurance Company and the Alcohol and Gaming Commission of Ontario. Discussion? Councilor Keck?
So in this, it says that there's expected to be approximately 200 people in attendance, and in the previous noise exemption request, it stated there were to be 400 people.
Mm-hmm. Quite a difference.
So is he going to advise the Legion's insurance company? Has our insurance company been notified of this event?
So part of the event is a ticketed event. If you purchase a ticket, then you can also purchase alcohol. So the number reflected with the liquor license is just for the ticketed portion. Axie's application encompasses the whole event, so people can come and not purchase food or drink, and there's children's activities, so he's encompassing the entire event, and Bill's just encompassing the ticketed portion.
So those who have not been fortunate enough to purchase one of the limited tickets cannot purchase alcohol?
That's correct.
That would be a logistic nightmare, I think, but
yeah.
The $1 million question is exactly that. How, right?
How?
Yeah, but yeah.
And has our insurance provider been advised of this event, considering that they are seem to be concerned about risk management for the municipality?
I'll have to verify that with staff, but the liquor license has been approved by the gaming corporation.
Yeah, it'd be difficult to track because I don't know how you determine. You show a ticket, I guess, when you buy the alcohol, but then is that ticket taken from you or do you pass it on to somebody else? I don't know how logistically it works. But.
They may have a wristband system, I'm not quite sure, but they have to do their due diligence in showing who's been ticketed and who hasn't.
Right.
That hasn't been shared with the township, but we will definitely ask tomorrow.
My understanding was that the ticketed area was also going to be like fenced, like
yeah.
with snow fence. So because they have what they call a tasting menu or a ticket for a meal.
Okay.
If you have just got the tasting menu, you can't get into that fenced in area.
Because I did hear one of the organizers say that come out for a taster or even a cold beer, you know, so...
You're right, I did see that too on Facebook, I think. I'm not sure of that, but maybe on Facebook, so...
Okay, I will mention that to Mary, and she can contact Joyce in regards to that, because it is absolutely... the ticketed are the only ones who are allowed to have alcohol. So it might be some miscommunication between the committee itself. But no, just the ticketed people, the ticketed meals, get the alcohol.
Like it's a great fundraising event. It's just that, you know, as members of council, looking after the best interests of the corporation, I think we have to ask these kind of questions
mm-hmm.
and ensure that the risk is mitigated for this event.
Well, that sounds like they have some plans in place then, as you're saying,
mm-hmm.
so they'll try to control it, I guess. We'll see. But yeah, I don't know. I'm public property, it's a question.
Steve McDonnell's on the line.
Oh, okay. Yes, Mr. McDonnell?
Steve McDonnell, the counselor.
I can't quite hear him.
Sorry, if you have any questions, I think I can answer them all.
Okay, Councillor Kekkonen, do you have?
It was just, so some of the questions have to do with our insurance provider.
Unfortunately, things to do with the SOP are handled by the Legion. The basic idea, the event is a family event. There's nowhere in the event where people can sit and hide, more or less. In the hall, there will be a lot of activity. There's a silent auction for a harvester. We're going to have a lot of people in there. Outside, it's going to be hot. The area is going to be cordoned off by all the 14 booths. And we have a security team. And the Legion has told me they're going to have all hands on deck. Now, I suspect they're closing the bar at 7:30. I'm not exactly sure what the Legion is doing, but there's really going to be nowhere, like at a dance at night in the dark, people can sit, you know, in a corner or whatever, and we're encouraging the Legion not to sell a lot of tickets to any one person, and there's just going to be a lot of families there, and that's what we're going after.
Okay, anybody else have questions? Sounds like it's under control.
Good.
Thanks very much for hanging in there and answering our questions.
Well, it's my pleasure. And you guys are doing a lot of hard work. I don't think I could do it. Thanks for your attention to this. It's going to be a great event. We got 16 community groups have come together to coordinate this thing, so it's a shout out towards the past, all community groups that help, like the Agricultural Society and the United Church, and it's just a sign how we can all work together and support the historical restoration of the churches and help with the West Perry Sound District Community Support Services. So it's been overwhelming for me emotionally, bringing these people together, and we're looking forward to it.
And you?
And with respect to noise, we can get the notices out tomorrow. That is not a problem.
And you'll be rivaling Perry Sound's Rib Fest, I take it?
My understanding that theirs is not that great.
No.
Ours is local. Local ribs, local people, all the groups. It's just there's great support for it. So.
Great. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much.
Great. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Steve.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Okay, call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. We have resolution 23-476, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2023-50, being a bylaw to stop up, close, and sell part of the original road allowance between Plan 275 Block A and Concession 6 Lot 29, the first and second reading, further read a third time and passed in open council the 4th day of July 2023. Discussion? I'll just ask Carly for confirmation. I know it's parts 11 and 12. I just want to make sure that the property description is accurate, that the one that Jennifer Bigger did.
Yes, it is correct. So it is parts 11 and 12. 11 is the majority of the road allowance. Part 12 is a small sliver at the beginning of Burnett's Road, and that's to be included as well.
Okay, but we're not closing and selling the northern part?
No, the part that abuts the parcel the township owns is not being sold.
Excellent. Thank you. Follow the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members. Committees you may have attended or conferences, Councilor Zulak?
No conferences.
We'll give you a couple minutes.
Okay. Library board meeting. Just wanted to say that we're still looking for volunteers on the library board, if anybody is interested. Dan Hilbert was in talking to Terry, the CEO there, and said that they should be hooking up Starlink within the next 2 weeks in the library.
Now, do they pay for their own?
Well, that's what they were asking me, and I was going to find out from council. Like, are they included in?
I think the theory behind it, they're paying their own
bill
right now, to
yes,
that, I assume.
Yes.
And I think the theory behind getting Starlink was that we would take in the library and we would pay the fee for that. I'm not sure, though.
That was my understanding as well, and there's certainly no additional cost for us. And frankly, I'm certain that we don't ever come near our, well, there is no limit, but I mean, there's no way that we could be using all of our bandwidth. So.
Okay, because, yeah, they had asked me that, and I said I did not know.
So if they discover a surplus in their budget, that has to come back.
Okay.
So.
But from memory on their budget, I mean, I remember they're paying, who's the other company that we were using?
Vianet,
yeah. I mean, and I remember that it was the same amount that we had budgeted in the township's budget. So in other words, we were previously, or presently, I guess, paying twice. Now we can pay once.
Okay.
And if we ever needed more, we could buy more a lot cheaper than we're paying them. Anyway, so.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt here.
Yeah.
That's okay. And also just to let you know that they're having a craft time for kids starting up. It started up on July the 4th, and it's on Tuesdays from 3:30 to 5. And a lady by the name of Lori Taylor is going to be running it, so they hope that will work out. There's a lot of kids interested in it.
the little libraries, the two little libraries, that one is for adult books and one is for children's books.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're going to be hooked together, and Greg is going to put them in September. They're going to wait till after the summer, and then they're going to set them in.
We saw one somewhere. Was that a private one that was put out somewhere in the township? I don't know where we were driving, but
it must be, because
must be
they're in the library sitting
okay.
there. Fun. They were wondering, you know, those two magazines, Fun in the Sun and Perry Sound Life, you can get them, and I guess they have a few articles in them now because of the McKellar, the 150, about McKellar. Is there someplace, a rack or something, that they could put them out here so when people come into the office, they might see them? Like, you see them in the grocery stores and that. But because they had some McKellar stories in there, they were wondering if there was some place that we could set them.
I'm sure we can come up with something.
Something?
Yeah.
So I'll just ask, tell Terry to come and speak with you?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that, maybe it's still out there. I don't know, the North Star that was out there, or the Toronto Star, I guess, out by the road, that blue bin.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it still out there? I don't think I've ever seen any papers in it.
I don't know. I didn't even
maybe that could be moved in.
They're all sold out before you get there today. So.
Maybe that's it.
I never even noticed it anyway.
Yeah.
So they stole it from somewhere else and plunked it there.
That's about it for the library. Okay, I told you about the volunteers. Oh, and they're not going to have the book club. Is not going to be going on for the summer. And crafting is still going. That's it for library, basically. And just a little bit of information for Belvedere, that's still ongoing. At one of our last meetings, they had said, Donald Sanderson had said that they were going to be sending out notices to the clerks and CEOs, and it's regarding information that they need. It was sent out before about a policy and the issue. Do you want to continue the Belvedere to buy back the life leases or not? They said basically if they don't get a response from a municipality, does that mean that they want you to continue to buy back? So they're going to be in contact, and I asked Donald Sanderson, had they contacted you? And I came in and asked you also,
mm-hmm.
Ina, and he said no, he was going to wait until they have the clerks and CEOs meetings, and then he was going to bring it forward. But I think it would be a good thing for us to have them come out, and because there's a lot of ifs, like before they were going to the Nova Bank of Nova Scotia to see about, funding, and now we're waiting for the TD Bank is going to do a presentation for the life lease, you know, for an amount. And I, at one point they said that for capital, you can't get a
line
of credit. Yeah, I couldn't get a line of credit, it had to be a loan. And now it's like, I don't know, it seems like it's all over the map. So I think it would be a good idea for council to have them come
sure.
out and do a presentation once they get all of these things to get together, because it just seems like it's, they don't know. They don't know.
It'd be a public meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't know, but they have to get, once they get all these figures in from the different ones, right, then I think that's when they should have a public meeting and say, you know, this is what our plan is, because before when they came it was 5 million, now it's 1.3 to 1.8 million. They sold five units in 2022, total five units they've sold so far, two in 22 and three in 23. So again, they want to know, do we want to continue selling the units, them, and then they rent them, or what does the township want to do? So you should be getting something in the future, and then you can bring it to council and we can decide if we want to have a meeting or not. And one good thing about Belvedere is now that they've lifted the masks, you don't have to, they're facing that in, and residents and visitors no longer are required to to wear the mask. The team members still have to do them, and that was effective the 29th of June. They used to get a lot of staff from agencies. Well, they've been able to cut that way back. They've only have one staff member now from an agency, and the personal support workers, they have 16 graduates are coming out of that program, so hopefully they won't be having to rely on that, and that's quite a bit off of their, you know, what they had to spend.
Is it still being run through Lakeland or the hospital or
the
Belvedere?
PSW?
No, just the Belvedere itself, the way it's being run. Who's running it?
Oh, no, Belvedere, well...
They don't seem to have their own staff anymore, so
no,
I'm just wondering.
No, a lot of them are from the hospital.
Right.
Yeah, and like I said, Donald Sanderson, well, he's... you have Donald Sanderson, he's a specially invited non-voting person. He's at all the meetings. Jim Hanna, Nicole Murphy, they're all from the Westbury Sound Health Center.
Yeah.
Tammy Johnson, well, she was from the health center. Now she's the administrator for Belvedere.
But is she employed by Belvedere or still being paid?
I believe she's employed by Belvedere.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Anyways, that's it, but there's a lot. That's
so in regards to the life lease units, Belvedere has sold 5 units or purchased?
Total.
They've purchased.
Yeah, they purchased. Sorry, did I say sold?
Yes.
Oh, it's no purchase.
So they purchased 5 and they're leasing them out.
Yes.
So they're not selling those units as previously people could purchase the units?
I think one just recently a person wanted to purchase it, but the others I believe they're rented. That was the plan, was to rent them.
That's my understanding too.
The plan was to rent them out.
That was
and that
plan.
Was to
yeah.
throw down the cost of the loan or line of credit, whatever you want to call it.
So then is there still, there was a clause that was that had been added.
Section 22.
Section 22, where they can give notice.
It's still there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Other?
The rec committee, had a meeting, and all the normal stuff continues to go on. Rec committee's involved in the Rib Fest also, or one of the competitors, so if you do intend, that's who you would vote for as the best Rib.
Are we obliged to?
And hopefully that goes out to all the public. When I'm out of here.
Not many listening now.
And July 15th will be our 7th annual Kids Fish and Fun down at Minerva Park. And then we'll also be involved in, the rec committee will be involved in the 150 grand celebration here. And then later on, we'll get a bit of a break, but we'll be involved in the fall fair, so quite busy. Perry Sound Area Planning Board, we had a meeting. Dave was at also. Busy there. We had 7 consent applications. I believe all of them were fine. And then there was this letter, as you've seen, from the Township Carling, and I think they were asking for support from the Perry Sound Area Planning Board to basically leave the board. So I guess that's going to be a bit of an item going forward. My personal thought on it, I guess I can give that out, is I, as it stands, I would not be in favor of that. Perry Sound pulled away, but they're obviously more built-up area, different entity, where the Four Mist Valleys with the Perry Sound Area Planning Board are very similar. So if Municipal Affairs is going to even consider Carling leaving, well, then they would have to consider all the municipal disbanding the planning board, and we all do our own planning, would only seem fair. So the I just think it's better for the planning board to stay intact as it is with the 4 municipalities. We're similar. The fees for applicants I think quite reasonable. So that's my personal feeling on it, but they're asking for Perry Sound Area Planning Board support. If they had brought it to a vote that meeting, I would have had the vote no.
Yeah, I think it would have lost at the meeting, so that's why they hesitated. They're going straight to the province, I think.
I think they realized that was a hopeless cause, because I think the other municipalities feel the same as I just spoke, that McKellar probably feels that, no, we the four of us continue on until municipal affairs, if they want to disband it. But I can't see them just letting Carling pull out and leaving the other three municipalities to take on that cost and stuff. So anyways, just so you're aware that that's kind of what happened, but I can't see us wanting to go along with that.
And the application we mentioned on Burnett's Road that was passed, the change in conditions for the, well, it's a Roberts application, I guess, although it was a numbered company, I think. And the other one on Center Road, that was soundly defeated by everybody on the board. So the one that is near the Stewart Park there that was to be...
That wanted the rezoning down to 50 meter frontage.
Yeah, so they went along with...
So it's defeated council. Also. Yeah, so that went well. They were commenting agency, so they respected our opinion on that. So that's about all I had.
Okay, so with Carling, they gave the reason that they wanted to dissociate with the planning board, and they gave the reason Perry Sound had done something similar.
They applied at the same time as Perry Sound.
Right.
But they were turned down.
They were turned down.
Well, then, although they argued that they weren't turned down, there was another reason given that they were never turned down. But they've got their own plan around full time, so they figure they can look after themselves.
Right, so that's the key point there, is that they have their own planner.
Okay. Yeah, who worked right out of their office, so I don't think they're sharing with any other municipalities. So.
Is that Brian Snowball?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other committee reports?
No. We had a successful historical walking tour in the village on Saturday the 24th of June, and always an excellent event and lots of people. There was close to 20, around 20 people, and our tour guide, Joyce Hopkins, did a commendable job, excellent job, and really well attended and appreciated by those in attendance.
I just have one question on. Did they get books at the beginning? When I saw the pictures, they didn't have any, they weren't getting any books.
And that was on purpose, so that they would be listening to the tour guide and not be shuffling around in the book and getting distracted with other locations in the tour. But they got a book after the event.
They did get one? Okay.
Yes, so everyone that attended was able to receive one of the walking tour booklets.
Okay.
Yes.
So that explains that I saw them going sort of a reverse route to the what the book said, because the book had said you start down and go up Harriet Street first, and we happened to be coming back from town, and they were coming down Harriet Street at the end.
Right.
So I guess they took a different route.
So it was a matter of one of our tour guides wasn't able to walk the tour, so strategically the tour was... took a certain route so that one of the tour guides could park and then point to several
certain
different
locations.
Locations.
Yeah.
So that was strategic.
Sounds good. Okay, anything else?
I attended, you've seen the minutes in here anyhow, for the Lake Stewardship and Environment Committee, and there's a meeting this Thursday coming as well, including in here. So some people in person, Jennifer, will be hosting the meeting on Zoom. Which is, again, typical for how these have been done. There's a bunch of potentially far-reaching things. It's very preliminary right now, including septic inspections, which I know has come up. And it isn't, it's just to make recommendations anyhow. But there is, I gather from talking to Jennifer, that there is some serious, I'm trying to find the right word here, serious... concerns about septics and things, and I know from she verbally gave me an update on some of the water testing, and the phosphorus levels is much higher than it has previously been in several lakes. I don't have those details. That'll be in our meeting this coming, but there's a lot of very far-reaching things anyhow that are at least being examined and discussed at this point. But obviously at some point we'll come forward with some recommendations. I can't tell you the timing of any of those things other than, all of them are vital anyhow. So, and some people that put in an awful lot of hours, including Jennifer, first and foremost amongst them, and how much time she spends on this. So, anyway.
Is that, again, just out of interest, that it used to be advertised, it used to be minutes, and I'm noticing it's falling off on the township website. Is that because they're not being put on by staff, or is it not being sent to them?
Well, no, I mean the fact that they're here, I mean, but having said that, were they provided, you know, or requested in a particular time frame? No, we've had to juggle some meetings because of, frankly, we tried to have a meeting, I'll say a month ago, might have been longer than that, and didn't have quorum because we didn't. So then we, you know, got together with everybody on the phone and said, okay, well, let's pick dates that people can actually make, which is why this meeting this Thursday is technically at least a week ahead of what it would normally be scheduled. And everything else, but like any group of people, it's difficult to manage, especially in the summer. People are busy with things, so we're juggling those things anyhow. Not so much me, I'm just a member, but I mean, Jennifer spends a lot of time on just trying to do that and get people to say, yes, I'll be there, so, because you don't want a meeting without quorum. Well, we wouldn't have one anyway, but I mean, we don't want to have that situation arise, so ask people in advance and say, here's what we're planning. And we literally changed this week's meeting as a result of that. So, I did attend a Chamber of Commerce Zoom call as well. Unfortunately, I have a notebook at home that I write down all the things in it. And at the moment, I'm not remembering very many of them, but anyhow. So
the agenda and Zoom link will be provided, posted someplace.
Yeah, Jennifer distributed it. I'm not sure if she's given it to Carly. Do you know Carly?
No, I haven't received it yet.
Okay.
I can email her tomorrow morning.
Okay. Well, I can ask her anyhow. And I have it on my phone even, so I mean, I can provide that to you. So.
And so that'll be posted on the committee portion of the township website?
Yeah, the Lake Sturgeon Trip Environmental Committee ones are posted under the environmental page.
Yeah. In fairness, we haven't had outside attendees either on Zoom or in person. In recent memory, anyhow.
Well, the last time there was no Zoom link, so it was hard for members of the public to attend. So.
Yeah.
Okay, resolution 23-477, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation and the Township of McKellar hereby receive the consent agenda for correspondence. Any discussion of any of those items you want to pull out to talk about? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Any questions, comments from the public? On Zoom?
There's no one.
In person? I thought I'd ask. I forgot last time. Resolution 23-478, moved by Councillor Keckman, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar hereby give bylaw number 2023-51, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed an open Council of the 4th day of July 2023. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-479, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskam. Be it resolved, Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at 10:13 p.m. to meet again on July the 18th, 2023, or at the call of the mayor. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.
Morley's favorite resolution.
Yeah. Now, to turn these off, right? Yeah.
Sorry, that would be good.
Mike's worked really well. I messaged some